Rejoice, dear listener, for your endless march through the internet has finally produced something to add meaning to your empty, meandering existence. Your friends at Idiots Discuss the Universe are digging up musical gems of the past and deciding if they have any shine left or not. Welcome to Old Gold.
That could be like a, you know, like a, the new like Lil Pump song, or it could be like the new Cardi B song. I put that bitch on airplane mode.
Sure.
Shut the fuck up. I put you on airplane
mode. Dude, seriously.
Yeah.
That's viral. That's viral tendencies right there, I think, for sure.
Okay. I'm writing that down just real quick, even though it's just harebrained podcast idea. I put that bitch on airplane mode.
I think that's got some legs. Yeah. I think that's a clever little thing. I mean, it's not for you, but like you got some cute little Cardi B type gal to do that. That's a win.
You don't think it's for me?
Nobody cares if you put him on airplane mode, Spencer.
Yes, they do.
Summer cares.
So there's one.
There it is.
And then
your mom.
Two.
So, there's people.
There's 200% people. More people than you originally claimed. So, you know, maybe.
So two people. Yes. Yeah. Okay. You've got plural people that would care if you silenced them.
Plural people. There's people.
I mean, they wouldn't notice for a couple days, but they would care once they did notice.
Yeah. They'd be like, hey,
if you want me to get a hold of you, then you're going to have to change that. If you don't,
I guess we're not talking.
I'll see you on Christmas.
Yeah. Hey, Craig, I was wondering. Do you know if men get their periods? Because I think I'm getting my period.
Yeah, I think you are too. I mean, you're definitely pre-period. I don't know. I feel like your PMS has been gone for about 75 days now, though. You know, I feel like we're kind of like into the third month. I think we're moving into the third month of that.
So
I know that like a lot of special ladies in my life, they feel like when they burst into the room and they start complaining about things, that it's the first time that they've ever done that on those topics. But it's not true. You know, like they do.
Right.
Occasionally complain about the same things again and
over
again and again
and over
and get reworked up about the same stuff again and again and again. And I mean, maybe a little bit of that going on.
So with you're saying to me that the way I was behaving today, because I basically did what Craig just talked about, where I sort of bursted in and started venting, that I'm just like that.
Well, you're going through your first menstrual cycle of life. I mean, I think your second set menstrual cycles don't start until you're about 12, 13.
Okay.
And they start like that way for girls and boys. But boys only have one. And that lasts from like 13 to like 17.
Oh, yeah.
Where like they ditch all of their childhood friends. They become into their identities as young adults, as cool kids or whatever.
Right.
And then they find or they reestablish friendships that lasts them through their college years and onward, and they kind of adopt that for the next 20 years or so.
Right.
And then they go into that next PMS period,
right,
where like the cool kid in college is not like paying the bills anymore and is getting kind of annoying.
Yeah.
And they're finding that same thing's true with all of those people that they had bonded with in that period of time. And it's time for this other change, kind of like when you had to ditch your childhood friends for a while to become that new thing.
Yeah.
You're kind of doing that again. So it's another like male period that you're going through, and then you'll chill out for another 20 years, you know, and then it'll be like, oh, all of those hard-working buddies that, you know, I just like worked all the time with and all that stuff like that, now I'm kind of like wanting to like, you know, expand my life in other ways. And you're gonna be like, I want, you know, like where I'm at now, where I'm like, I want people that kind of like value the shit that I value and not like are doing the shit that I'm doing.
Yeah, no, that's very wise. I need to smoke some weed.
Yeah,
I'm Yeah, but,
you're just PMSing. It's just a big PMS. It's going to be a PMS year for you.
I've felt more on edge today than I have. I know I have felt this way since quarantine, and I know everyone's been going through like ups and downs.
Sure, sure.
But it felt more. It felt sharper today for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But then I guess, like, yeah, thinking back, I'm like, yeah, I do kind of.
No, I think you're reaching a critical mass where you're going to make some sort of, like, mental shift. I don't know if you'll change your situation too terribly much, but I think you're going to come to some sort of, like, mental plateau relatively soon, you know? And you're going to have to shake off some stuff you're going to sort of miss, you know? I mean, not necessarily people or places or things, but just behaviors and tendencies that you've had that don't work for you anymore, you know, and you're going to have to find some new ones. Yeah. And it's kind of a sad thing, but it's also like an encouraging thing, because if you don't do that, you're one of the dudes that gets stuck. And the next thing you know, you're 38 years old wearing platform boots and selling cocaine out of your garage. You know what I'm saying?
Which
we don't know anybody like that.
We don't know anybody like that, but I can't fully knock that. I feel like if you go down the path of getting stuck perpetually at age 25 or whatever, that situation is like the king. That's the best outcome. Is like, hopefully you'll be selling cocaine and wearing platform shoes out of your, you know what I mean, or whatever. Like, hopefully that's how you end up. Because that's the best case scenario.
It's not a good case scenario. It's not.
Well, no, that's not good.
No, it's not good. I mean, and like, I know that like people that like that, sometimes they have a little bit of money and they have some things that look good. But like, that's weird. You know what I mean? Saying like that denotes some odd inner workings.
Yes.
It just does. You know, because you're already past that party every weekend need to, like, shoot the moon and get out of your head, period.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you were done with that by the time you were done with high school almost, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, most people, like, if they're not done with that by the time they're done with college, like, there's something else going on there.
Right.
There's, like, a need for some sort of escape or deadening of feelings or whatever it is.
No, for sure.
But those binge alcoholics are just as alcoholic as all the other alcoholics.
Right.
And, yeah, you know. So, I mean, that's at least the way I look at it. Most of the people I know that have continued that, you know, if you get really too deep into their personal situations, there's some problems. You know what I'm saying? So, but again, like I say, it's better to you better to cry in a fucking Corvette than it is to cry on a park bench, you know.
I guess that's all I was saying, is that it's not a good situation, but at least
it's better than other situations.
Right.
Yeah.
There's the guy who's living in his parents' basement who isn't selling cocaine.
And that's a better situation than some of the dudes that are waiting in line to cash in their cans at Fred Meyer, you know, that are in that same thing too.
Exactly.
But none of it's as good as like someone that acts their appropriate fucking age and matures and it can experience and enjoy all the seasons of life. Mm. Like, that's the truly wealthy person.
Yeah.
You know, because they get the most, because they're present, and they get the most out of their youth, and they don't have to hang out in their youth their whole life to get it, because they're there.
Yeah.
They're not waiting for the thing to happen. It's happening, and they're enjoying it, and then they can go to the next thing, and they can enjoy that.
Right.
And that's the goal. Like, you're always where you're supposed to be.
Right.
And you need to act like you're where you're supposed to be, because then you're fully embracing it.
It's the secret.
It is. Part of it. I'm going to do a podcast one of these days where I'm just going to go total guru. It's going to be like just How to Be Happy by Craig. It's just going to be How to Be Happy by Craig.
I'm waiting for it. I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to do it here with you.
Oh, I'm going to be sound here.
It'll be an idiots episode.
Okay. Well, cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. No, seriously. It's all
How to Be Happy.
Stupid soliloquialisms from Craig. Speaking of stupid from Craig, we got an old gold we're doing today, Spendog Millionaire.
Fuck yeah.
And I'm Craig, by the way.
That's right.
Just kind of introduced him, kind of through an accusatory statement there.
No, that wasn't really accusy. I'm Spenny.
But it's
Spencer.
But it's old gold. And we go back into the past
That's right.
on that show, and we listen to some oldish type of musical experimental things going on there. Mm-hmm. And then we, I don't know. Most of the time we like it or not like it or whatever. I don't know if we really judge it too much. I mean, a little bit. We talk about it, and sometimes Spenny knows it. Sometimes Spenny doesn't know it, and that's always fun if Spenny doesn't know it, because then we can get kind of a fresh reaction off of that sort of thing.
It's always fun.
I feel like Spenny's going to probably know this artist today.
Okay. You've been on a hot streak with the Old Golds lately.
Oh, you
I
think?
Say.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. You've been going, I think, decidedly for, like, known classics, at least, like, ones that are, like, because there's a few, for those of you who might just be listening to Old Gold for the first time, there's a few different flavors, I would say.
Sure,
where
sure.
There's, like, decidedly, like, Craig genuinely loves this record mm-hmm. kind of a thing.
Right.
Like, U2 and, like, the Beck. And you know,
yeah.
Some of these
Absolutely.
Recent ones where
Absolutely.
It's like, okay, this is some good shit that I want you to hear from the past. And then there's like, this is some weird shit that Craig found from the past where he's like, you know, you're like, he does, I don't think he likes it, but he likes watching me not like it or something like that. Or like, you know, watching the reaction from some
right.
strange oddity.
Right, sure.
Past.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Gene Loves Jezebel School
exactly.
of songs. Sure.
Right,
yeah.
Or that trucker, the weird trucker video.
Yeah, see, I truly love that, though.
Yeah, no, there was one of them with that you did.
Oh, no, the Convoy.
Yeah, dude,
yeah. No, no, I do do some nostalgia sort of novelty songs.
Right.
There is a novelty element to this, for sure.
Yeah.
This one's one, this is... a couple songs by a band that I love.
Okay.
These songs, dude. I love both of these songs a bunch. One of them is just a top 20 maybe of all time for me. The other one's just a fucking classic. Have you ever heard of the band? I'm sure you have. You've heard Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style, right?
Sure.
Okay, at the beginning of one of the songs, he's like, bitch, you without me. He's like, Harold Melvin without the Blue Notes. You never go platinum.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we're going to do Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes
okay.
today. A couple songs by him. Them.
Wow.
Now, you probably don't understand what Snoop's talking
no.
about in that.
No,
okay.
I didn't, but I always thought it was cool. I
right,
was just like, I
right.
know whatever reference that is, that's a cool thing to say, you know, because he said it in a cool way.
Yes. Okay, well, there's a reason that he says it that way and what it means.
Okay.
All right. So Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes... are part of the Philadelphia soul scene of like the late 60s and early 70s, which was just a really dynamic musical scene. Curtis Mayfield, just lots of people
yeah.
that you know and love are, coming out of that scene
yeah.
for sure. They were formed, actually, the Blue Notes were formed in 1954
oh, wow.
and had like five members, one of which was Harold Melvin. Okay, and
gotcha.
They were one of those black doo-wop soul bands that just jumped from label to label, and they had a couple minor hits here and there, but nothing really like major, but enough to kind of keep it going. But their lineup was constantly changing, and the way that like some of those bands back then did, like the Moon Glows and different like vocal black groups, they would just change up the members all the time. Sometimes they would have like one person that was like the signature voice and that person would hang around, but they didn't really have a signature voice, so they just kind of kept switching around until pretty much like Harold Melvin was left as like the person that had like the control of the band, and he just kept hiring new people and different lead vocalists and different things like that, and you know, kind of just treading water until 1970
wow.
when he hired Teddy Pendergrass. Have you heard
oh.
of Teddy Pendergrass?
Yeah.
Okay, he's like huge. I mean, he's first guy have five consecutive platinum albums, first black artist to have five consecutive platinum albums.
Really? Yeah,
and,
I thought he had his own career.
Oh, he did.
So
after Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, he started as the drummer for the band.
Okay.
And then he became the lead vocalist very, very soon after that. And
gotcha.
He was pretty much the lead vocalist on all of their big songs, you know. And while they are like an album artist out of the Philadelphia soul scene, there's something that you can put them on. They're like Al Green. You can listen to the whole album and enjoy all of it. It's got some different things going on. It's not terribly varied, but you know, like they're pretty strong that way. But Teddy Pendergrass is just one of the great voices in R&B and soul of all time, and also kind of like one of the big tragedies of that genre as well. But let's just like dip our toes in a little bit, if it's cool. So we're gonna do probably their biggest hit, maybe, you know, or the one that like is one that all the ladies and the lovers like. And it's If You Don't Know Me By Now.
Oh, yeah.
By Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
With Teddy Pendergrass singing. But this is just a fantastic, just, you know.
Yeah. I didn't know that was him. Or that was Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. And that's why Snoop says, You without me is like Harold Melvin without the Blue Notes. You'll never go platinum because they never went platinum without the Blue Notes, because the Blue Notes included Teddy Pendergrass, which was the actual star of Harold Melvin. It's kind of like Spencer Davis Group, where the star of it was Steve Winwood, but it was called Spencer Davis Group because he was the old guy that ran it.
Right.
Jay Giles Band, you know, Peter Wolf was the star of that, but Jay Giles was the guy that the band was named after.
Oh, weird. That's such an interesting way to do it. Kind of like, it's different, but like with the band, how, what's his name, Robbie Robertson is
like the star, but he never sings or really, right. Like, you don't know why.
Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac,
yeah,
in a way, is named after Mick Fleetwood, and like, you know. And
yeah, what
like,
is he, the drummer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not the star.
No. I mean, he's got some, he can hold a groove, but.
Sure. Oh, yeah. No, he's a fantastic drummer, but he's not, you know, Fleetwood Mac would be nothing if it was just up to Mick Fleetwood. It had to have, you had to have a little Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham in there to make that go.
Right. Lindsey Buckingham. I'm trying to remember that, SNL with, he's a late night Jimmy Fallon. He does a good Lindsey Buckingham. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, man, we got to watch that sometime.
Okay.
But anyway. All right, let's do this thing. So,
cool. If You Don't Know Me By Now.
That we've been through, you should understand me like I understand you. Now, baby, I know the difference between right and wrong. I ain't gonna do nothing to upset our happy home. Act like children when we argue, fuss and fight. Hey, hey.
I love it when Teddy Pendergrass just starts, like, yelling at you, you know?
Yeah.
When he's just, like, at the end, it's like, he's so passionate.
Uh-huh.
He's not even trying to sing anymore. He's just like, fuck 10 long years! You know, like.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's fucking great. But it's hilarious also. It cracks me up because I'm like, damn, this guy's just. I mean, like, he's the real deal, you know, where it's less about the technical crooning, you know?
It just kind of turns totally personal. At the end. But it is a personal song. Like, it's one of those weird, like, love songs, but it's just, like, such a specific message in there that I get. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's really an interesting song.
Yeah. No, definitely.
But just, like, beautiful. I mean, like, and that's one thing about the Blue Notes that I love is, like, the instrumental part of it is just so spot on. Like, little guitar fills and the piano shit and that string ensemble that they've got going. Like, it's really something great on a sonic level.
Yeah.
And then that perfect group vocal and then Teddy Pendergrass kind of shouting over the top of it. Like, it's the perfect Teddy Pendergrass delivery system that's ever been invented.
I mean,
it's just amazing.
Yeah. No, I can see why this would have blown him up.
Yeah.
You know, this would have been his platform. I've always had a really soft spot for this kind of music.
Through your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm 100% already in.
Yeah.
I'm just like, hell yeah. Like anything, Aretha Franklin, Otis Redding, like anything in that lane of like 60s, 70s, like R&B type shit.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's magic. It's magic stuff. It's magic stuff. And this is, I don't know, for my money, this is like one of the shiniest stars in that sky, this next song that we're going to do. This is a fucking banger. I think this is a banger.
This is a banger?
As close
as it gets
to a banger.
Okay.
I mean, Teddy's fucking going crazy on this one. It's a little bit more upbeat. And yeah, this is the one that got me into these guys and just made me like really like do the deep dive, and I've never like really looked back, and it's just so worth it. So if anybody just takes like one song out of this old gold, like this is the one right now, and it's the Love I Lost.
Love I Lost.
And it's just out of this world. So without further ado, let's fucking roll that one, and then we'll come back and tell everybody goodbye.
All right, let's do it. One other thing I love is how they end a lot of these Blue Note songs with, they're just, it's like someone being like, oh, they're not going to stop. We're just going to turn it. We're just going to fade it out.
Fade it out.
He's just going to keep going.
Keep
going. And the band is going to keep going, and they're just going to keep telling you about the thing, you know?
Yeah. No, it's the groove. It's
Yeah, it's an interesting way to,
yeah,
you know, always end kind of a thing, which I get. It's like the, because it's like the music isn't stopping ever, really. You just like go away from it, you know what I mean? The fade out.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, I'm getting in a car and I'm driving away
as they just keep on playing forever.
Yeah. The fade out is a weird thing, for sure. Yeah, it really is. And that does give the impression that they're still somewhere playing the song. Still that.
I lost it. I still haven't found my love yet.
Oh, it's so sad that happened to Teddy Pendergrass.
What happened to him again?
He got that bad car crash in 1980. Late 70s. He got in a bad car crash and got paralyzed from the chest down. And he continued to perform. And he lived until year 2000 something. Anyway, but like he performed at Live Aid, and that was like his first live performance after that happened. And the woman he was with died. He had some bad luck. You know, like his wife, who was also like his manager, like she got murdered, and they still haven't figured out like who did that or whatever, you know.
What?
But it was something to do with like crime and his musical career or something. I don't know exactly what's going on, but Philadelphia was a tough city, you know, and that Philadelphia soul scene was just super vibrant and violent and all of that, you know.
I always think about music from this era,
mm-hmm.
and like how awesome it is, but then when you think that this is also kind of the same time of like the mob heyday, or like the classic like mob still running shit. Maybe not heyday, maybe that was like Al Capone era when like the, you know, mob was kind of running shit, but you know, this is still like Goodfellas territory, right?
Yeah, oh, sure, it is. Yeah, this, for, like, the black experience, though, it's the post-68 period in the 70s. And the 70s were, like, for urban America, really tough in the sense that, like, a lot of those neighborhoods burned in the late 60s, and they just didn't rebuild them, you know? And New York turned into a complete slum. A lot of the cities turned into really dark, bad places during this, and Philadelphia was definitely like one of the worst. I mean, it never dug itself out in the 90s. I mean, right. Philadelphia is like one of the worst out of all of them, you know. And I think tough times got like even tougher for a long while there, you know, and then have just slowly over 40, 50 years started to improve.
And it's, there's some similarities happening right now, but that all makes a lot of sense. And I still think that the black experience, at least as far as music is concerned, and the music business is where I think you get the connection to, you know, the mob ties, basically, you know, that existed with like Frank Sinatra and whatnot, like popular music, popular record labels,
right.
Like there's some, you know, there's just some shady something happening when anything where there's a lot of money to be made, and then there's drinks being sold, and
I mean album sales are a great way to launder cash. They just have always been that.
Yeah, art, you know? In general.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and like Death Row Records and Rockefeller and all of the major, like all have rumors or actual proven things where they're tied into like the mob to some level, you know. And I think that's just like entertainment.
Right.
You know, entertainment and crime and all the other stuff that people do when they're out drinking at bars all kind of like meet each other in the bathroom and get up to fucking nasty shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, Vice hangs out with other vices. You know, it just does. They all kind of congregate and there's cross pollination for sure. And the music business is a great way to make a bunch of money. You know what I'm saying? Like if you have a concert and you sell 500 tickets and it's a seating hall for 1,500 people, you buy those other 1,000 tickets and then you've got legitimize that much money.
Right.
And no one would ever know the difference.
Right. Right.
Right.
Or you can do it in even smaller increments. You know, if you're really worried about some scrutiny, you can buy 200 tickets over the course of 4 weeks of show. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
So, sure. But yeah, and you know, I'm actively trying to keep my head in what is more like tangible reality when I'm talking about this stuff, just as at a
this has been generally proven.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, my payola scandal, which would be a great old goal to do sometime, but like, you know, seriously, like that was like one of the kickoffs of rock and roll, is like they were paying off DJs to play the play the songs that they wanted to pay them,
right?
You know, yeah. In lieu of, I mean, it's they were the first like internet influencers, kind of.
Totally.
You know?
And isn't it weird how now it's like, now with the internet, labels are still a thing, but now they answer to the nerds. You know what I mean? Like it's like the mob answers to the nerds now.
You're listening to Idiots Discuss the Universe.
In a world where everyone and their emotional support animal has a Patreon, in a world where internet slaves survive on likes and begging strangers for money, two podcast warriors rise from the ashes of a crumbling civilization to broadcast across the wastes. They aren't the smoothest, they aren't the smartest, they're Idiots Discuss the Universe. And they need your support. Visit patreon.com and join the IDTU Army today. Exclusive content, creative prizes, unsolicited opinions. Idiots Discuss the Universe.
In a way.
Like, in a way.
The mob is probably still around with their fingies and hands and unions and labels and all, you know, weird little things like. Probably, I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure the mob's still around in the music business. But, like, that's the thing. It's, like, when you get, like, a platform where people can tell the truth about what they think about things, like, everything else just falls away. You know, and music criticism, even when people are wrong, I mean, I disagree with them, like, there's an opinion about everything.
Sure.
You know, like, there was a time that, like, Beyonce comes out with a new album, and you can't find a negative review printed anywhere of that album.
Right.
It's universally loved as far as the press is concerned. But Beyonce puts out an album, I got on the internet. I can find 14,000 reviews of people that are fucking hate that bitch forever now because that album is not what they thought it was going to be. You know, people will tell you what they think. It may not be right, but, like, that takes away the power of that.
Sometimes, and I agree, but sometimes I think it's, and I don't know if this is me, like, just projecting, but I think it's tightened up quite a bit on the internet as far as like really like to the point where we are getting a little bit to like how it was back in the payola days where there's like the gatekeepers and the ones who have enough money to pay.
But the
know.
Difference is that nobody talked about it then. We were all duped.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like we weren't duped. We just didn't think about it. I mean, all the reviews of Beyonce's album is great. It's a great album. We all love this album. It's a great album. And then, right. like, 10 years later, you meet someone that actually doesn't like it. You're like, what?
Yeah.
You know, now you, like, meet those crazy people that haven't seen Star Wars and think that it's stupid. And you're like, wow, I heard that people like you existed. Yeah. But yeah. I was never, like, I never was aware of that when I was, like, in the period of Star Wars. But if Star Wars, the original, came out now, you would know all of those people existed. You could, right. like, see who the leaders of that movement, the influencers of that, yeah. all of their memes, all of that shit.
Yeah.
And it would take away from that initial, like, excitement.
Yeah.
You know, in a way.
Absolutely.
Because it's not, like, that total. There's a good thing about having, like, that media, like, everybody, especially if it's good stuff that they're putting out, you know, like, where it kind of everyone's allowed to be excited about
oh,
something,
yeah.
you know, for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Before they just shit on it.
Right. No, and I agree.
I think that's the beginning of, like, all of, you know, not to take us totally off the track, but, man, I remember, like, the day that there was, like, this period where things switched, where it became, like, cool to Michael Jackson, kind of, was the person, maybe, where they like to take the piss out or find the thing that person kill, you know, kill your heroes.
Right.
That Goldman book came out about John Lennon, just talked about all the shitty things that John Lennon did,
yeah,
you know, his entire life, all the drugs and abuse of women, and just John Lennon, who's the hero to everyone, is just a total fucking toilet of a human being, you know? And
yeah,
and then like Michael Jackson, sure enough, like, you know, he's crazy and he has like a personal zoo and all these rumors started to circle, right, and you know, like they just started going after Elvis was a pill freak and all this stuff. It kind of like made the switch.
Yeah.
And we're still feeling it, you know, like it's just immediate now.
It is. It's much faster.
But the kill your idols thing is, I mean, it's pretty cool because most of the idols deserve being killed. But like, if you've got some intact idols, they're pretty cool.
Definitely. They are cool, but they're also like,
you know, don't trust it anymore. See, you get that face like, oh, they're intact, but we just haven't found the part.
No. That's not what I was going to say.
Oh.
That maybe the whole practice of killing the idols is maybe going to lead to something positive because it's not healthy to idolize anyone, maybe, you know, like I don't think any of these people, like there are, like it's
yeah,
pulling the curtain back and being like, they're human and they're fucked up. And chances are if they're a musician who is successful, they're probably very crazy.
Oh,
you know? And rather than this like veneer of like Frank Sinatra, he's got it together and like he's in a suit and he's like got a family or whatever, you know, it's like, actually, no, he was an insane person.
Well, I think it's good and bad.
Right.
You know, I think that it's good that we have like that day to day check in with all of the stars that people are like, and they see that they're human beings to a large degree. They have good days, they have bad days, they have ups and downs, they do stupid shit, they do smart shit.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that. You know, you get it. Even like the greatest, most talented, most profitable people out there, you see how crazy they are in a day-by-day, play-by-play sort of way now. And so there is an acceptance to that. And I think that's healthier for them and for us in that way. But I also think that it's cool, and it's good for people to think that, like, you can be as cool as Frank Sinatra. You know, that there is, yeah, that perfect ideal out there. There's someone that's doing it just perfect out there.
Yeah.
So I can get, like, 10% better.
Yeah. And then you do get a little
better. A little better. Yeah. You never get to Frank Sinatra because you, right, always feel like a fucking louse on the inside. But maybe, right, somebody walks by you every once in a while, they're like, man, that guy's cool.
Yeah.
This guy's got it going
on.
He's
got it together.
You know what I'm saying?
Kind of reminds me of Frank Sinatra or whatever.
And I think that's the thing to remember.
Yeah.
It's like that there are times where it just, Elvis was the fucking coolest person on the planet. John Lennon was the coolest person on the planet. Frank Sinatra was, you, yeah, know, and like aside from all of their inner shit that they were feeling at that time, they put out this thing that was like doing the best shit ever at the right moment, and like those are special things, you,
sure,
know, and high points in culture. And I think that it's okay to, like, as long as you reasonably idolize that, like, I think it's okay, you know what,
yeah,
I'm saying, like that you can suffer the slings and arrows, like if you know they're human and they were that cool on top of all of it and created that great stuff, like that's inspiring.
Yeah.
So you can't like say, well, that's not true. They weren't cool and alluring and creative and all that stuff because they were shitheads. They were that despite being shitheads.
Right. Right.
You know, and you can look at it that way and be like, you know, I'm a shithead, but maybe I could have a few moments in life where I'm fucking more than the sum of my parts and I write Highway 61 Revisited, mm-hmm, or I fucking do the 1968 fucking television special or whatever it is that,
right,
fucking, you know, have those moments.
Yeah.
On your own little way. You know?
Right. Yeah, no, I like that. That's a good way to think of it.
Right. Because I think if you don't, I think a lot of people don't do that and they just spend their whole life in their pajamas.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because if you get to that point, like there's no one to impress, and even if I do impress, they'll just discover that I'm a piece of shit,
right,
and then they won't be impressed at all anymore anyway.
Right.
Like that sort of defeatist stuff is defeatist stuff.
Yeah.
Which is not what you were saying at all, but like, you know what I'm saying? I think there is an element of society that's growing that is like that.
No, I think it is. I mean, it's in line with those people would agree with what I said, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and, yeah, it's hard for me to imagine a time when everyone would agree on the coolest artist. Like, it's hard for me to imagine that.
There would be one or two options. You know, it wouldn't be like, yeah, it, not everyone agreed, but it was like a classic, like, well, do you like Van Halen or AC/DC? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, those were like, oh, of only two that could possibly be the best bands in the world, because those right. are obviously the biggest selling, most, whatever.
Right, the best,
those are
a
good example.
Selling.
That's not a good example.
No, that's a good
but,
example of like rock, 70s rock.
Right. Do you like Prince or Michael Jackson better?
Right, yeah.
You know, because unarguably those two are the biggest, most well-loved artists yeah. in 1984.
So, like, right now it would be, like, Post Malone or Billie Eilish.
Pretty much. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
There's, you know, if we had to boil it down.
Or Ariana.
Ariana Grande!
Or Gaga. Gaga, I think, is just killing it all with the Chromatica, which
yeah.
I don't understand.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't like that album that much.
I find it suspicious that she has to put "lady" in her name.
Oh well, stop it, stop it! God damn!
Like, isn't that a little on the nose?
But what about the band, like Lady Antebellum? They had to change their name to Lady
oh,
A.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, because they were racist.
What? They really.
I think they did, yeah. And I think Dixie Chicks changed their names, too, to just Chicks or something.
D-Chicks. Chicks with chicks with dicks. We're now
they
should have
changed
dicks.
Their name to Dicks, Chicks with Dicks.
Chicks with Dicks.
And just spell it D-I-X.
Yes.
Wow, why didn't they think of that?
I don't
That's
know.
Like, that would have put them back on the top.
It really would.
Chicks with Dicks.
Chicks with Dicks.
No, Lady A, they call themselves Lady A now instead of Lady Antebellum.
Dude, oh my God. It's so fucking stupid. So fucking stupid. What a bunch of pussies.
Well, they won't play them on the radio.
Well.
They won't do it.
Not, but.
They will now.
Country radio?
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't play it.
Country radio's been taken over. It's done. It's not the days when they wouldn't play the Dixie Chicks because they talk shit about George Bush.
Right, right.
Those days are over.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's the days of...
No, no, it's co-ed showers all through a fucking fucking country radio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Forget it. Forget
yeah,
it.
That's funny. I don't, you know, that's fine. I just like fucking, God, taking Aunt Jemima off of a fucking syrup bottle.
But this is but Spencer, the good news is like feeling the way you feel in a culture like this is truly what rock and roll is all about.
Mm.
Your first time in your life that you're like, I'm a rebel against the greater society.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's a weird, this is how I felt in high school and junior high. Because
yeah.
you believed one set of things and the whole world was against you and every decision that they made, you're just like, Oh my God! What?
Yeah.
What?
Fucking stupid.
That's I didn't think they could get dumber, but they're just getting like exponentially dumber every day.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to be the Fonz. To be that out of step and being like on the hip underground. It's truly underground because people don't like you.
Right.
For what
and
you think.
And they're like weird.
Right. They shun you for your the things.
But see, the thing about the Fonz that I still can't grasp
is how he had just hit the wall and the lights would go off.
I mean, that's really cool. He did have magical powers of some sort,
right?
But no, it's the there's like a detachment, you know, to that the ultimate cool. He's kind of like, there's like yeah, he's going against the grain.
Well, he's like 40 years old and still in high school or whatever, just hanging out with high school
well,
kids.
Okay,
so I mean, he's a little detached.
Okay, yeah, but there's a you know, I mean, I guess I haven't seen a lot of it.
What do you mean, like, you think the Fonz is detached?
Well, like, he doesn't seem to get overly emotional.
No, no.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. There's like, yeah, I'm going against the grain. Yeah, all of you are fucking losers and you're fucked.
But see, the Fonz...
Also, I don't really care. There's
but the Fonz knows his situation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He doesn't expect the world to understand him.
Right. And that's where I'm getting it wrong, because I'm still like,
well, yeah,
mad.
You're mad. You're mad that they don't understand. But like the fawns, the fawns is happy they don't understand. Oh, you don't like me like doing wheelies on my motorcycle in front of your house?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what makes the fawns cool. That's why all the girls are like, I love the fawns, because right. the fawns doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, you kick me out of Big Al's, no one's going to fucking be coming to Big Al's at all anymore.
Right.
He has that attitude. You know? And yeah. that's it. You know, that's where you got to get. That's the rebel. That's the rebel.
I'm close.
You know?
I'm close. I can feel it.
You are getting close. I mean, you're just getting more and more.
I'm just a fucking little emotional, little gingy.
Well, you just get pissed, you know. You
I know.
Get
it's because of my redheaded, fiery fucking, I get,
right.
I'm quick to anger, I think.
Well, you've just been raised in the soft, soft Pacific Northwest, and you feel like when you get anger, you have to somehow figure out a way to turn that anger into depression, because depression is more acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, whereas depression is just unmotivated anger. For the most part.
Right. And the way people react around me when right. I get angry is, I'm like, I don't really like that, like, necessarily right now, because it's like,
well, they're Pacific Northwesterners. So
exactly.
So they do those mental games that try to make you feel bad to diffuse right. your stuff. Oh, this one's slightly angry. We got to make him feel bad
right.
for that, so he gets quiet and moody, and then
yeah.
we can continue on with what
yeah.
we're doing. Right. You just got to be like, fuck you, bitches.
Yeah.
This is what I think. You don't like it. And then slam some fucking doors. And
yeah.
then just, well, you got to get a car. And then squeal out of,
yeah.
the, park, of the parking lot. You know?
Squeal out of my fixie.
Right. Fuck you. But whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
That's it. You just got to, like, get the anger and get the anger. Don't hold on to anger. I'm
right.
not saying that.
Right.
But
let
like,
it out.
But that's what, if you hold on to anger, it turns into depression.
Right.
Or it turns into self-abuse or fucking, like, drug addiction or all that other stuff,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
So just get it out.
Yep.
Like, why are you being such a bitch? You're
yeah.
pissing me off.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
And then it's all love again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's
yeah.
how the fawns would do it. You
right.
know, like, you're getting in my face, I'm going to fucking punch your ass out, and then it's all cool again.
Yeah.
You know, it's not cool to be angry.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
But that's what you're right. That's why you got to get it out. Because a lot of people, myself included, would think like, "Oh, not cool to be angry. So shove it deep down." You know
right.
what I mean? And just
right.
pretend like it's not there. And
it's like
manifest.
It's like the girlfriend thing. Like I tell you, like if you're present every moment that you're with the girlfriend, you don't have to worry about the big problems because you're putting out the little fires as they occur.
Right.
You know, and it's the same thing with anger. If you're like getting like, that annoys me, I'm going to address it now. That annoys me, I'm going to address it now. Mm-hmm. You never get to the point that you're super angry because you're keeping tabs on the situation. If someone's truly a fucking ass nut, you fucking just get rid of them in your life, and you don't get to the point where you get truly angry at them. You're just like,
yeah.
okay, this is not worth my time anymore
yeah.
because I'm being realistic about this shit and I'm not pushing down all my fucking feelings and everything.
Right.
Or you get over it. Because you express your anger at a time that it's small, bite-sized, digestible amounts for the other person to understand. And then you have it resolved or expressed or whatever, and you can go forward with a clear slate.
Right.
And it doesn't, like, build up until you're, like, the big ginger bomb of anger.
It's all red-faced and...
just fucking gonna explode on somebody.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that.
It's not good for anybody. It's not good for
it's
your
not,
pr-
it's
blood
not
pressure.
For anybody. No, you're right. It's
yeah.
not... No.
Getting all worked up and then riding a bike over here in the heat. Like, seriously, that's just a white man's recipe for stroke.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Well, I thought the biking would kind of, like,
when you're all,
it.
When you're all, like, super already all upset, like, I'm going to go do some exercising in the sun.
Yeah, is that all?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to get a heart attack.
Damn.
I mean, like, if you're an Olympic athlete, you know, like, or something like that, then maybe the exercise is neither here nor there. But
because, like, when I'm worked up, I feel like I need to fucking punch shit until I sweat and, like, and literally tire out my brain and body. You know what I mean? It seems like the only solution sometimes. So I'm like, fuck. So that.
Oh, I think it does work in to some degree like that. I just don't know how healthy it is as
right.
far as like blood pressure, risk of like increased risk of like heart attack and stroke and stuff like that. Like, just
yeah.
being upset and doing anything is extra risk. And then they've proven, like, the brain and stress are, like, fucking poison to everything. And, you know, if you're, like, already kind of, like, a shaky, like, physical condition, for you, I think it's fine. Like, you're young. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like, I think that, like, yeah, you can, like...
I mean, I'll survive, but I want to, you know, I want to figure out how to do this shit at least the right way or a better way. And when I was biking over here, like, it felt
better.
So good. Like, while I was doing it, because I was
getting... Well, that means that it's the right thing to do.
And I was way more worked up at Summer's place, like, venting to her. And I was like, shit, I got a bike because I got this, like... I'm hearing the words. It was at the point where I hear the words that are coming out of my mouth. I'm like, I'm an asshole right now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just being I'm just saying shit because...
You're angry.
Yeah. And so...
I think the exercise is a great way to get that anger off to burn off that repressed energy.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, essentially, like, it's repressed energy that you're putting off because, like, you're angry, but you didn't address the people that you were angry at in the right way to make you feel satisfaction. And so you're venting to Summer. You came over here to vent.
Right.
You know, like I'm saying, like, you're carrying it around with you. Yeah. You know, like, you put it in your box and you're going to carry it with you for a few days, where you should have, like, never put it in your box in the first place and been like, why are you being like this? But no, we understand. You know, I mean, I think that your situation is a little bit, like, complicated in the sense that it's compounded on itself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the trick about making all these changes into being, like, it's easy for, like, me to say, like, do this. You know, because I did all this stuff when I was, like, super sick and I wasn't seeing anybody, and I could change all of these behaviors in, like, this weird vacuum sort of, like, I have to do it kind of way, you know?
Right.
And, like, you have to kind of step away, you know what I'm saying, in a way to make those changes and then come back fresh, you know? And it's hard to do in those day-to-day, slowly entangling...
Well, I feel like
friendships and relationships that you have.
I feel like there's no stepping away from anything these days.
Oh, there isn't.
Like, I can't go anywhere and be alone. You know, I would love to just go.
That's not true.
No, you're right. I can't.
That's not true.
No, I could rent an Airbnb for
a week.
You could
go sit in a fucking park for an hour.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You could go ride your bike for an hour.
Yeah.
You could go for a walk for an hour. You could go sit outside of the fucking grocery store on the curb, drink your coffee like a hobo, like I do.
That sounds fun.
In the morning.
That sounds great.
It's kind of like a hobo.
But sometimes it's nice to be a hobo.
But just to be alone. I mean, put the fucking music on or don't put the music on, and you have, I don't know. I mean, like, free your mind is the thing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's it. Yeah. I don't know. It's all about, like, that mental state, and you can find the space that you need to find if you need to find it. And but you're kind of locked down into your orbit that you're in with the way the world is right now. But that doesn't mean that you can't make lifestyle changes. I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't make mental changes, you know.
Very true.
And you can start, like, addressing, like, the immediate issues. When you get angry at people, you can start addressing that immediate issue right away. But you got to do it like a retail manager, where you can't go, like, you're a lazy piece of shit.
I know. See, that's my problem.
You got to be like, you're doing this on this date at this time, and that's my problem with that.
It's like I have a hard time focusing.
And then when you've done that 5 or 6 times, you can go, we've got this pattern, and I can say you're a lazy piece of shit because of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these specific examples that we've already talked about specifically. Yeah. What do you got to say for yourself, piece of shit? You know?
Yeah.
But when you're going at it one at a time, people don't feel like, oh, he hates everything about me and he would just really rather me not exist on the planet. They're like, oh, he doesn't like this one thing that I did.
Right.
And so we can talk about this one thing that I did, and I don't get super defensive and, like, feel like that I'm being judged as a complete entity.
Right.
So it works for both of everybody. You know what I'm saying? And then, that's the great news, is, like, if you've done it enough and it continues, then you know that it's a royal piece of shit that you're dealing with. And then who fucking cares? And you've got proof to go at him and go, you're a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And then when they're like, what are you talking about, dude? And you're like, I'm talking about this, 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 this.
Yeah.
And then you're justified.
Yeah.
Righteous yeah. anger.
Righteous anger.
Is okay.
That's what
a
I
little
crave.
Bit of that is okay.
No, definitely. It just, it also sounds like, you know, it's just hard to be in the moment and want things to be like remain peaceful, but then also try to get and deal with all of the natural angers and whatnot that come about just from human interaction, you know, like everyone's bound to like upset or annoy someone else like at some point, right?
Yeah.
Spend enough time around someone else, they're bound to
absolutely.
Piss you off in some way.
Absolutely.
Right? Like it doesn't
absolutely.
Matter. It could be the love of your life. But you're like, you
sure.
didn't fucking
sure.
do the thing. Whatever. Yeah. So it's hard to deal with all those things and not I don't know, just dealing with them as they come. Yeah, it's just very difficult for me because, yeah, I've been trained by the pussified Pacific Northwest vibes, you know, of like anger not good. Like, you just keep it to yourself. If you don't have anything nice to say, keep it to yourself. You know, that is like the fucking Portland motto. You know what I mean? That's like the West Coast motto. If you don't have anything nice to say, really what it is, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it to that person's face.
Right.
Say it to someone
else. Well, try the Midwest motto. Like, if it's none of your business, don't fucking chime in. But if it is your business, fucking stand your ground.
Yeah. I like that.
And that's about it. You know, if this is personally fucking affecting me, then I'm gonna deal with it.
Right.
And if it's not, it's none of my business, then it's none of my fucking business.
Right.
And I'm not going to concern myself with it.
Yeah. That I like that.
And it's none of your business what people think of you, just so you know.
Yeah. I like that.
Why would you want to know that?
I don't really.
Nobody does. That's horrible. That's a terrifying thing to know what people think of you.
It's just kind of...
If it's good, bad, or any of it, it's all terrifying. Can
right.
you imagine if everybody that looked at you, you could just tell what they thought of you, like in that split second of whatever they thought of you? It would be horrible. Good, bad, all of it. It would just be horrible.
It would be pretty exhausting,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah, it's none of your business. It's nothing that you want. It's nothing that you want. And it gets worse. And it gets worse as the people that you know better. You know?
Yeah.
It just does. You don't ever want to know that. It's enough to know that they love you and they show up and they laugh at your jokes and that shit. You know? That, like, at the end of the day, they weigh it all and you and you come out as a positive.
You're like,
someone
all right.
that they're spending their fucking time with.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
But you don't want to know what they really think.
No. And I've already gotten that.
And they don't want to know what you think of them,
right,
really.
Right, right.
You know?
So I should just...
No, just decide what you'll tolerate and what you won't tolerate,
right.
and then live your life accordingly.
Yeah.
You don't got to worry about making, like, a council decision about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing, like you say, like, you know, I don't need a reason. I don't need to tell you my reason.
Right.
It's the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For you, you don't need to know what my reason is.
Right.
It's not, like, imperative.
It doesn't matter.
To
ultimately.
Me, if you know it or not.
Right.
And it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't. Who cares what it does for you?
Right.
Truly. Like,
right.
If I'm making that, if I'm at that point where I'm making those type of decisions where, like, why would I fucking care what you think?
Right. Oh, I'm so brainwashed, dude, because it's like, I'm like, but.
Brainwashed by nice.
Yeah, because yeah, I'm well. Like, but the friends, what the? I just feel like I just don't even have any good reasons for it. It's just like I feel like I'm in, like there's a part of me that's still in
dude,
like,
if they're
school,
if they're
dude.
Your friends, you shouldn't have to pussyfoot around with them.
Yeah.
You know, like if they're your friends, you can tell them they're a fucking piece of shit and then show up a week later and ask to borrow money and they'll loan you fucking money because they're your friends.
Right.
And if they're not that, then they're whatever they are. But they aren't that. So, and that's why they say, like, in life, you may have one or two friends in your entire life that are truly that.
Yeah.
And everybody else is somewhere in between.
Yeah, they're just kind of like
right
around.
So quit worrying about them all so much.
Yeah.
And they'll all like you way better.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hang out with their moral mom.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? Or the fun police. They just don't want any of it. I mean, they just don't.
The fun police.
You're not the fun police, but that's the other side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the side you're kind of fighting against is the fun police.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to stop thinking about it.
Yeah. That's probably the smartest.
Yeah.
I would say.
No, I'm exhausted by it, too. I'm just like, oh, it's not going to do anything. But I do want to go somewhere really bad. Just for like a week, you know, alone. Oh,
like leave town or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, go.
There's a place called Sou'wester that I just don't know how expensive it is. I think it's expensive. Dan went there one time.
What is it?
It's like a artist retreat kind of place, but there are just a bunch of old refurbished trailers, basically.
Uh-huh.
And there's like a bunch of them on some lake or beach or property, nice area.
Uh-huh.
And you get like a trailer and they've got like shit in it. But I don't know. I don't know if you have to get invited or if it's like you just pay for it like an Airbnb or if you have to be an artist or what really the deal is. But yeah, it sounds cool. Sounds cool. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could definitely leave town.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see what happens, man.
All right, well, sorry for that little detour at the end there, everybody. But
it happens.
We've got some things figured out. But thanks for tuning in, and we'll have more of this intellectual goodness in 2 days for y'all.
All righty. Peace out.
Bye-bye.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in IDTU Studios, located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.